Chapter 13. Questioning. I had come face to face with a lot of dangerous animals in my life, both at Fun Jungle and in Africa, but I'd never been as shaken as I was after confronting the man in the panda suit. Because the animals were never being malicious, they were simply animals. Their behavior, no matter how menacing, was purely instinct. Sometimes, if they were carnivores, they might have viewed me as a potential meal, but many times the animals were probably feeling just as threatened by me as I was by them. However, the man in the Li Ping costume hadn't been acting on instinct. He hadn't come after me because I was food. He had done it because he was a bad person, pure and simple. After my run-in with him, I just wanted to go home. I wanted to be with my parents where I'd feel safe. Unfortunately, Molly O'Malley wouldn't let me. She wanted to interrogate me first. Now that I'd been targeted, I was part of her investigation and had to be questioned while the events were still fresh in my mind. So, at Molly's behest, Chief Honecker brought me back to the top floor of the administration building. This time, I got to sit in the conference room and be grilled myself. Because I was a minor and obviously rattled, Molly allowed my parents to join me. We sat on one side of the big conference table, while Molly and Agent Chen sat on the other. Agent Chen took notes on a legal pad and recorded everything with his phone as well. I still hadn't heard him say a single word. I was beginning to wonder if he was mute. Honecker and all the other Fun Jungle security people were dismissed. Juan and Greg, the drivers of the panda truck, were no longer around. I figured they'd finally been allowed to leave, though when I asked Molly about it, she told me that wasn't any of my business. Then she said, "My team has reviewed the footage from Dolphin Adventure and determined that you were telling the truth about being attacked by a man in a panda suit." "Of course he was telling the truth," Mom exclaimed. "Teddy wouldn't lie about something like that." "Mrs. Fitzroy, I'm questioning your son, not you," Molly said sternly. "If you can't allow me to do that without interruptions, then I'll have to ask you to leave. Do you understand?"
"Yes," Mom agreed sullenly.
"You must admit that Teddy's story sounded bizarre," Molly asked her. "Teddy isn't a liar, Agent O'Malley," Mom replied. Molly returned her attention to me. "After you knocked over the panda and ran away, he didn't follow you. Instead, he fled via a separate exit from the dolphin area. We're still trying to track his movements through the park after that, although it's not easy."
"Why not?" I asked.
"It involves sifting through the feeds of thousands of separate cameras, and while it normally ought to be easy to track someone in a panda suit, on this particular day there are a staggering number of other people dressed like pandas at the park." "But the Li Ping costume is still different from what those other people are wearing," I pointed out.
"True," Molly conceded, "and yet there are enough people wearing black and white and face paint and those ridiculous panda ears to make the job of tracking your assailant quite difficult. Therefore, any information you can give us would be greatly appreciated. First of all, what can you tell me about your attacker?"
"Not much," I answered. "I couldn't see him at all in the costume. I only heard him."
"What was his voice like?" Molly pressed.
"Very deep."
"Was there anything else notable about it? Was it raspy or gravelly? Did he have a lisp or some other speech impediment?"
"No speech impediments, but it was kind of gravelly, I guess."
"And you're 100% sure it was a man?"
"Yes."
"Was he tall or short?"
There were quite a few Fun Jungle characters that were so short only little people could play them. Larry the Lizard and Kazoo the Koala, for example. But the person dressed as Li Ping had loomed over me.
"Tall."
"How tall?"
6 feet, maybe."
"And why did this person threaten you?"
"I don't know."
Molly leaned forward across the table and said,
"You don't?
Think about it."
I did. I tried to replay the events at the dolphin tank over in my mind, though to my surprise they were already fading. It had all happened quickly, and I'd been very frightened. Mom put her hand on mine. Even though it was a small gesture, it calmed me down and helped me think. The events came into focus. "He thought I'd been snooping around the panda exhibit."
Molly arched an eyebrow.
"You weren't?"
"No."
"Tell me the truth, Teddy."
"I am."
This is a federal investigation, Molly warned. If you don't stop playing games, I'll ship you off to juvenile hall.
Now it was my father who couldn't keep his silence anymore. He told you he wasn't snooping. What point is there in badgering him about it?
Molly turned on him angrily.
The point, Mr. Fitzroy, is that despite repeated warnings to steer clear of this investigation, your son has continued to meddle in it. And from what I understand, he has meddled in several previous mysteries at this zoo as well.
Teddy didn't meddle in those mysteries, Dad corrected. He solved them.
Well, it's my job to solve this one, not his, Molly said curtly.
Every time Teddy interferes, it makes my job harder. Now he's been threatened by a hostile element for snooping around, and I'm supposed to believe that person only thought he was snooping?
That's the truth, I protested. I haven't been investigating at all. I was in Mom's office right up until I was asked to go to the dolphin tanks. All I did was walk by Panda Palace on the way there, and there was a rally about Li Ping, so I stopped to watch it. Then Chloe Dolkart, one of the panda keepers, came over, and I talked to her about the rally. That's when the guy in the panda costume saw me.
You're sure about that? Molly asked, still sounding skeptical.
Pretty sure, I replied, then remembered something. I also saw someone dressed as Li Ping near the panda truck this morning, right before you got here. Maybe it was the same person. I'll bet no one was really supposed to be dressed as Li Ping today, since Li Ping wasn't even here.
That makes sense, Mom put in. The park wouldn't want mascots out representing an animal that had been stolen.
The guy must have seen me this morning, I said. Then he recognized me at Panda Palace and followed me to Dolphin Adventure.
So your idea is what, exactly? Molly inquired. That this guy was hanging out in a stolen Li Ping costume just in case someone came snooping around?
Yes. If you want to keep an eye on things here, a mascot costume is a great way to do it. People forget there's a human inside and say things right in front of you. I know because I wore one once.
Molly looked to my parents, apparently unsure if she should believe this.
It's true, Mom said.
Molly tapped her fingers on the table thoughtfully, then told Agent Chen, "Text Honecker, see if all the Li Ping costumes are accounted for." Agent Chen nodded and dutifully sent the text.
"By the way," I said, "when I was at Panda Palace, Chloe Dolkart said no one from the FBI had come to talk to her yet."
"Why would we talk to a panda keeper?" Molly asked.
"Because she knows a whole lot about pandas. Maybe she knows something that might be helpful to the case."
Molly thought so little of this suggestion she didn't even bother to respond to it. Instead, she opened her laptop computer and brought up a video file.
"Teddy, I want you to listen to this and then tell me if it's the voice you heard."
"Agent O'Malley," Mom said, "I apologize for interrupting, but Teddy has a point. Chloe might know some information that could be important to recovering Li Ping."
Molly made no attempt to hide her annoyance.
"I will decide what is important in this case, not you. And what is important right now is identifying Teddy's attacker. If we can do that, it might give us a lead to who is behind Li Ping's kidnapping. So, Teddy, listen."
She played the file. A deep voice spoke. It sounded like someone making a speech to a group of people.
"The Nature Freedom Force is committed to the abolition of all zoos, everywhere. No exceptions."
"That's not the voice I heard," I said.
"You're sure?" Molly asked. "Listen to some more."
She played another clip.
"We must be willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish this goal."
The cheers of the people listening followed. I shook my head. That definitely wasn't the same person. Was that Carlos Gomez? Molly looked up at me in surprise, then her gaze hardened.
"You saw that in the mobile unit, didn't you?"
I shrank under her glare, which gave me away. Molly grew even more annoyed.
"Wait," Dad said, "was the NFF behind Li Ping's kidnapping?"
"That's classified," Molly replied sharply.
"I don't think they did it," I said.
Molly's gaze grew even harder.
"I'm not asking for your opinion."
"It just doesn't make sense," I continued. I knew she didn't want me to say it, but I needed to. I'd had the idea all day, and I probably wouldn't get another chance to share it. The whole reason the NFF wants to shut down zoos is to keep animals from being in captivity.
So why would they steal one and hold it hostage?
For money, Molly said, like it was obvious.
And then they'll give the panda right back to the zoo? I asked. Gomez just said they wanted zoos abolished.
I can't explain what they're thinking, Molly told me, but I do know all my evidence points to the NFF.
All you have is a fingerprint from the ransom note, I pointed out.
We have 24 fingerprints from the ransom note, Molly said, and then seemed annoyed that I'd gotten her to even admit that much.
And as I said, this isn't open for discussion.
You have 24 fingerprints on one piece of paper? I asked.
That's weird, isn't it?
Molly ignored me and returned her attention to her laptop. I want to play another sound file for you.
I didn't back down, though.
Gomez didn't leave one fingerprint in the entire panda truck, and then he leaves 24 on the ransom note? That seems idiotic.
Just because someone is a terrorist doesn't mean they're a genius, Molly snapped, and even geniuses make mistakes.
It just sounds like someone's trying to frame the NFF, I told her. Like maybe they stole a piece of paper from Carlos Gomez and used it for the ransom note to throw you off.
Teddy has a point, Mom piped up, unable to hold her tongue anymore. It wouldn't be the first time a criminal has tried to frame an animal rights group for something here.
Molly didn't bring up the next sound file. Instead, she stared at all of us. Her fingers slowly tapped on the conference table like a metronome, filling the uncomfortable silence in the room. It seemed as though Molly had realized I might be right, but didn't want to admit it. Eventually she asked me, "And who, pray tell, do you think concocted this elaborate setup?" There was a mocking tone to her voice, like she was toying with me.
"Well," I said carefully, "you suggested some other possibilities yourself. Animal traffickers, or someone with a grudge against the Chinese?"
"I know what I said," Molly interrupted. "I'm asking you who you think did it, smart guy."
I swallowed hard, unsettled under Molly's harsh gaze. But then both my parents looked at me supportively, bolstering my confidence.
"Walter Ogilvy," I said.
"The billionaire?"
Molly laughed derisively. "Why would he steal a panda?"
"To hurt J.J. McCracken," I told her. "They hate each other. Ogilvy claims J.J. stole the idea for Fun Jungle from him, even though J.J. didn't. Ogilvy even tried to sabotage Fun Jungle once already."
"That still hasn't been proven," Molly countered.
"Only because Ogilvy has the clout to slow down the justice system," Dad said, no longer able to hold his tongue either. "A man who worked for one of his shell corporations tried to destroy Shark Encounter, and Teddy almost died as a result.
Stealing Li Ping is even worse for Fun Jungle than sabotaging the shark tank," I explained. "First, it makes the park look terrible. Then, millions of dollars that J.J. spent to bring Li Ping here and build a panda exhibit and advertise it go to waste. And it'll cost Fun Jungle millions more when everyone who was coming to see the panda here cancels their trips. Plus, J.J. has a ton of business interests in China that could all be jeopardized because of this."
Mom reacted to this last one in surprise.
"How do you know that?"
"Some woman from the Chinese consulate was here earlier today," I said. "She told J.J. he'd be in a lot of trouble if he didn't get Li Ping back."
"That's exactly where your argument falls apart," Molly told me. "The panda is being held for ransom, which means whoever took it expects to give it back, which won't damage J.J.'s business dealings at all."
"Unless they don't really intend to give it back," I argued. "If the whole ransom thing is just a scam to make it look like the NFF is responsible, then Ogilvy wouldn't really care about returning Li Ping to us."
"Which would be even worse for J.J. McCracken and Fun Jungle," Dad concluded.
Molly stared at us all once more, her finger tapping on the conference table.
"It would," she said finally. "Although there's one more flaw in your accusation. So far, there hasn't been one shred of evidence against Walter Ogilvy, while there is plenty against Carlos Edward Gomez and the NFF.
"You mean the fingerprints?" I asked.
"Those, and the car that dumped Doc in the parking lot," Molly replied. "We found footage of it and got the license plate. It was registered to Gomez as well."
This was news to me, but I rallied on.
"You really think Gomez would use his own car to do something like that? Maybe someone stole it."
Or maybe all the evidence is correct, and there's not some crazy conspiracy, Molly said dismissively. Your standard criminal isn't that smart. They make dumb mistakes all the time, and it appears Gomez has made plenty.
I noticed that even my parents seemed daunted by this last piece of evidence. Or at least, they weren't arguing my side anymore. I made one last attempt to protest, but Molly cut me off.
You've had your say, Teddy. Now it's time to get back to business. Listen to this clip.
She played it. It, too, sounded like someone was making a speech at a rally.
So what if the government has a problem with our methods? We need to fight for the animals.
It was a deep and gravelly voice, the exact same as the man dressed as the panda. Molly could tell I recognized it just by watching my face.
That's him, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure, I admitted. Who is it?
His name is James Van Amberg, and he's also one of the founders of the NFF.
Molly turned her computer around so I could see the screen. The clip she'd played was a video. It was now paused on the face of James Van Amberg. He was a tall, muscular guy with a bald head and shoulders as wide as a Cape Buffalo's horns. He didn't look that mean in the picture, but knowing that he'd threatened my life earlier that day made him seem very scary.
Yet another piece of concrete evidence against the NFF, Molly said proudly, and not a piece of paper or a car that could have been stolen, but an actual human being from that organization.
There was a knock at the conference room door.
We're in the middle of something important, Molly said.
It's Chief Honecker, came the reply. I have some information about that panda costume.
Come in,
Molly said, and Honecker did. He nodded brusquely to my parents and me. It seemed like he was embarrassed to be seen reporting to Molly in front of us.
That was fast, Molly told him.
I was already looking into it when I got your text, Honecker explained. I figured it might be a lead. According to Pete Thwacker, no one has been authorized to pose as Li Ping in the park yet. JJ felt it would be in poor taste to have anyone acting like Li Ping before Li Ping was actually here. So the Li Ping costumes are supposed to still be in storage. 5 were ordered. We like to have multiples in case any of them are compromised.
Compromised? Molly repeated.
They get damaged a lot, Honecker explained. The actors fall down and dent the heads, or a guest spills food on one and stains it, and apparently the actors have been known to vomit inside them.
Molly and Agent Chen both made faces of disgust.
It gets very hot inside them, Mom said. The heat can make the actors sick.
Molly returned her attention to Honecker.
Let me guess. All 5 suits are no longer accounted for.
Honecker turned pink around the ears in embarrassment.
That's correct. At some point after the costumes were delivered, an employee at the storeroom discovered one was missing.
And you didn't know about this? Molly asked accusingly.
This is a very big park, and incidents occur here every day, Honecker said defensively. I can't be informed of every single thing that goes wrong. There wasn't even any proof that the costume was stolen, merely that it was missing. It might have been misplaced. So it was reported to security, and an officer was dispatched to deal with it. But the investigation failed to turn up anything.
Who was the officer? Molly asked.
Honecker frowned, as though he knew the answer wasn't going to be appreciated by anyone.
Marjorie O'Malley, he said.